it, do it, yes. Do it, do it, do it, do it.
Yes?
Why do these all... Yeah, we're just going to start rapping at each other.
Okay.
These all start so weird.
Max going to give it to you.
What? Huh? Max going to give it to you.
That's the way.
What?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep, that's... I think you got it.
All right. Perfect. Says I can't rap. Oh, wait, everyone.
Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scouts.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Tim.
I am not Tim.
You're not, but you're better than Tim. You're Max.
I don't know about that.
I think you're better than me. All right. Very positive people here. Max, as often we do, I got you something. You ready?
Whoa.
Here comes a weird thing for you. Okay. I love it. Here you go, buddy.
Oh, this is one of my favorite things. It is Tales from the Crypt.
It is. It is a weird, young, adult...
Random house.
Little, I don't know, it's geared towards children, but it's Tales from the Crypt?
I had similar to these...
Like, I guess how like a Goosebumps would be?
Yeah, these are cool. They're like, they're kind of watered down... I think written for these kind of things, but they use the Crypt Keeper in them. And I had some of these when I was a kid. There was one called Bats in the Belfry. And no, look here. The Substitute, copyright, 1954.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's got Jack Davis art on the cover, but it's like silly Jack Davis.
It is.
And it's just so unusual.
It's almost like creepy number one, Frankenstein, and the Crypt Keeper's hanging out.
And the book's upside down. I'm like, yeah. Oh, you went slapsticky. Good work.
Love it. Thank you.
Yep, best quarter I ever spent.
I mean, anything Tales from the Crypt on it, I'm in, 100%.
I figured.
Yep.
I figured. So, this episode, we got to come clean with everybody. We spectacularly failed last time.
No, we didn't.
All right, we don't have to come clean with everybody. We did it correctly. You did it wrong.
Yeah, you fucked up.
You lousy listeners in listener land.
Yeah, come on. You have to work a little bit at this.
Yeah, could you try? But let's just pretend we failed. And now we're going to do movies slightly out of order. It doesn't affect you in any way. But there is one little bonus of this. And that is, I saw one of your movies that I had not seen had we done it correctly.
Huh.
So it worked out in our favor, I guess.
No, that's cool. Gives us something to talk about.
So would you like to go first or do you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm out of order on this one. I think you're out of order on another one. It's just wild. So on July 5th, so we're out of order.
That's fine.
I watched, and I chose to talk about this movie because I watched too many like dumb movies in a row.
Sure.
And I was like, ugh. God, too many bad movies in a row, just dumb movies. So I figured, let's get this out of the way. Let's break up the monotony a little bit. And I watched Post-Apocalyptic Commando Shark.
Yep, definitely broke it up there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of words in there, right?
There, and shark is one of them.
Yeah, me, the lover of bad movies, when I see a title like this, I just say, mm-hmm, I'm in, just hit play. And my wife groans and goes away.
Yeah,
so
she's smarter than you.
She sure is. Yeah, she definitely was this time. This is 1 hour, 22 minutes of pure pain. It is an action comedy. At least this one was intended to be a comedy.
Okay, great.
Action's questionable. Directed by Sam Quilenia.
Okay, sure.
Starring Simone, I guess that's Simone. It could be Simon. It's spelled very awkwardly. Simon Quilenia. Mike O'Keefe. And Andrew, it doesn't matter. None of these people are anybody, right?
I mean, they all acted in the movie.
They were in the movie.
All right. They all attempted to act in the movie.
In the post-apocalyptic future. Already good when the two words from this title are already,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Already in here. I was surprised this even had a thing. In the post-apocalyptic future, the world's at war. The newly instated Soviet Russian army has invaded the U.S. with the assistance of an evil German scientist who has created an army of superhuman soldiers. Half man, half shark.
Okay.
So what this is a bunch of hillbilly redneck looking characters on our side.
Okay.
And a bunch of weird looking shark masks, clearly masks.
Okay.
Over, comrade, is a good Russian accent whole movie, I shoot you. Yes.
Oh boy.
So the cheesiness I loved. The attempt, they get A for effort.
Okay.
I guess my question would be, Max, at what point you're making a bad movie or you're making a low budget movie with just such a weird, like you're making this movie.
Right.
These are buzzwords you threw in here to just do something silly and fun.
Sure.
And somehow it got made and got like put on Amazon or wherever I saw it. It feels like an Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And like maybe you fail. Maybe you fail and you're like, you just go for it. I mean, at this point, I don't know what your mindset is when Making a low budget movie is one thing. Making this kind of movie, where's the line?
It's an interesting question. It was something I was going to ask you slightly as well. Is there are some old like 80s movies, right? Like Killdozer we mm-hmm. talked about before, and like Death Comes to Frogtown with Roddy Piper in it. They're yes. awesome, good, bad movies. Like yep. it's just like the movie is literally called Death Comes to Frogtown. It's about mutant frog people, and it's an awesome movie.
Yeah. I think I'm just chasing Frogtown now.
where have we gone off the rails with our like campy over the top movies that we can't even really do a good job at good bad anymore?
I know. And I guess these people just were like, oh, we're in it, let's do it. How much I just don't feel like people are putting enough thought into their bad movies.
I feel like Shark, like when you add Shark to a bad multi-worded title, it's like they know there's an equation where they're like, okay, you're going to make this much money, so you're allowed to have this much of a budget. And
you're probably right.
It seems like what it is, right? Because we have a million of these on the Sci-Fi Channel, right? That's mm-hmm. the what brought us Sharknado.
But now they're not even making it to the Sci-Fi Channel. They're yeah. going straight to the internet. This is the bad part of things being readily available on the yeah. internet. So
yeah, they're not even getting there.
That's right. I feel like watching this movie, there was maybe four different sets the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Four different buildings. They needed better sets. It definitely felt like dudes running around backyards all the time.
Sure.
There was like this one little scene with a forest, and like everything else was like, all right, we're in Russia, and it's just like, that's the same. That looks like one of our houses. I mean, like,
Russia.
Let's call back Motherland.
Yeah.
Commando Shark 3 calling Motherland. Like, I'm like, oh, God. As far as, you know, low-budget Shark Commandos go, they looked okay. I mean, it was clearly a mask, but sure. aside from that, they looked fine. The movie is not great, and if you're looking, like me, if you're in search of a bad, good movie, this isn't it.
Nope.
A for effort. I mean, could see there was effort.
You know who gets the biggest A for effort is you?
I do.
This is like the fourth time you have saved the audience having to search out these ridiculous films. Like, you are doing the Lord's work over here.
Well, we'll get to the Lord in another episode coming
I see.
Up soon. Yeah. You wait for that. That's like 2 months away.
Okay.
So, IMDb gave it a 6.1 out of 10.
Sounds generous.
It sounds very generous. Rotten Tomatoes didn't even have the movie on their site.
Wow.
I thought I was doing something wrong. I looked every... Because I'm like, all right, IMDb not only has it, but loves it. Rotten Tomatoes surely has it then.
Not only has it, but loves it.
But I was like, no, it is not here. I don't understand. So I was very confused by
IMDb
that.
Loves it. Rotten Tomatoes pretends it doesn't exist.
So that should tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I give it a 2 out of 10.
Whew. That's not your...
My lowest... is a 1.
Yes.
However,
yep.
in an upcoming episode, I'm going to have to amend that.
Holy cow.
I watched something that I hated so much.
Wow.
It needed the 0.
I cannot wait.
Yep. We'll get there, buddy. Don't
oh
worry.
Oh my gosh, I'm so
yeah,
excited.
Just don't post-apocalyptic don't
it's
do it.
It's not even we're saying right.
It's not. Cuz I'm trying to spit out a better movie title for you.
Your earnest response
it's
says
just
it all.
Not. Take us somewhere better, Mac.
Yeah, I got somewhere better. I watched at some point, so this is another thing I personally screwed up spectacularly, is Tim was doing a good job of being diligent with when he watched these movies. I was just simply putting a list in the order that I watched them, so my order is accurate to the year. But my time frame is way off, because as I was doing the movies that are coming up, I hit one that I saw in theaters when it came out. It came out in March. So everything I've said up to this point is probably a lie, because I probably watched it earlier than the year than I gave it credit for.
Well, Capes and Scales is built on lies.
Oh, good. Well,
I have
just truckloads of bricks of lies.
You're just fitting in swimmingly.
So this movie was certainly watched this year.
Mm-hmm.
It is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
So it is it won an Oscar. So there, it's got that going for it. Rami Malek won for Best Actor.
I'm so sorry. This is on the same episode as Post-Apocalyptic Something Shark. I still can't say it.
It came out in 2018, and its genre is a biopic.
Mm-hmm.
Or biopic, depending if you say it wrong or not. It's short for biographical picture.
Ooh,
people.
Let's bring that back. Just full words, people. Full
biographical
words.
Picture. It was directed by Bryan Singer-ish. It is starring Rami Malek, Ben Hardy, Mike Myers, a plethora of other folks. Obviously, actual factual members of Queen, things of that nature, all crop up here and there. And the movie summary I just wrote, it's the story of Queenish, because it takes some liberties with the story of Queen.
It does. This is the movie I did see
okay.
that I had not prior. So
excellent. So I will, I'll give my thoughts, and then we'll take some sure. of your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Rami Malek is the reason to see this movie. He is unfreaking believable in this role. He looks great. He acts great. His swagger is on freaking point.
Yeah, the swagger's great.
The other three members who play Queen, I thought were also really, really good, really well cast, did a great job. Things that were awful were the editing, even okay. though this film was nominated for Best Editing. And so I want to talk about that for a second, because this poor editor had the Herculean task of, part of the reason they got Brian May and other, you know, bassist, can't remember his name.
Picture him.
Sorry.
So bad with
yes.
names.
I'm so bad with names. So the reason they could get them on as consultants for the movie is because part of their deal was everybody had to share an equivalent amount of screen time. So there are scenes like the scene where they first get their deal and they're just like outside of the restaurant, and there's like, I forget. So there's a YouTube video that counts that's like 30 something cuts for a scene of four dudes around a table and then a fifth dude shows up. It's way overcut, but they needed to put everybody needed to share the same amount of close-ups, and everything needed to be equivalent. So maybe he did deserve the award because he had his back jammed against the wall and still had to make a movie that was cohesive and a story that can be told. And I think he or she did. I think they did a good job there. But I do think that the editing is pretty nightmarish.
Yeah.
And it also suffers from what I will call the walk hard syndrome of, it is just walk hard.
Ah. Well. Yeah. It is hard to get around that. For
yeah.
sure.
I mean, that's what you're going to do with a biopic, right? Like, this is how the band started. These were the Trubs. This is our ultimate glory. End.
Right. I think when you're making a biographical picture,
mm-hmm.
what you wanted to, you don't want to make, because I always compare it to The Doors.
Okay.
Because The Doors movie, so many people love it, but then again, so many people hate it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that's not quite right. And blah, blah, blah. And I yeah. feel like people are always like trying not to redo The Doors.
Sure.
But at the same time, a lot of these bands have very similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the meat and potatoes is all the same.
Yes.
So I think this movie did the right thing on getting a good actor to play Freddie Mercury, somebody very flamboyant, somebody very, like you said, the movements, my God, it felt like I was watching Freddie Mercury.
It was great.
And I enjoyed that they talked about the other members of Queen.
Yes.
What they, like, the one guy is knows space stuff, and he's, mm-hmm. like, saving us right now in the real world from, I don't know, aliens or something. He's up there playing The Last Starfighter, I think.
That's right.
Accurate lies. I just think they did a really good job, and it's hard to do with a biographical picture.
I agree. I think overall, for what they had, the framework, they were going to do this very traditional narrative, I think they nailed it. So two stats. IMDb gives this a 8.1 out of 10, so pretty high for old IMDb.
Yeah, definitely.
Worlds of 6 and 7s. Rotten Tomatoes critical rating of a 61%. Audience score of an 86%.
Interesting.
So big old gulf in between those two.
I think it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they went for. Like, it's pretty accurate. We're going to make you feel good watching this movie about Queen.
Yep.
That's smart.
I agree. And I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Definitely worth your time. I mean, it's Queen. At bare minimum, the music is freaking astounding.
Yes, absolutely. Good work, guy. Good work.
Thanks. I'm glad you watched it.
I'm glad I did, too. I really enjoyed it. My wife liked it. It's just, I don't watch it with anyone else but her.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. So now I'm going to a Netflix one. This is originally a Broadway performance piece.
Okay.
This is John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons.
Leguizamo.
How you feel about John Leguizamo?
As a Pokemon or as a human?
Both, actually.
As a Pokemon, I think it's a delight, because he just says, Leguizamo. As a human, I mean, I don't have any problems with John Leguizamo.
All right. Well, I always enjoy it when he does these performance pieces, these stand-up specials. Sometimes they lean a little more, like this one is more of a performance
mm-hmm.
versus just him being goofy and running around. I think this movie, well, let's give you the stats first. This was from 2018. It is a 90-minute special, essentially. It's a movie. Documentary history comedy directed by Aram Rappaport, starring John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo. Comic and actor John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
Examines the repression of Hispanic culture throughout American history in his one-man show, Latin History for Morons. As a white dude, it's fun to watch this with a Puerto Rican wife.
Oh, that's fair.
She's like, oh, he's going to tell you how shitty you are. And I'm like, oh, I know how shitty we are. No, you probably don't. And she was right.
Yep.
You never know the extent. It's a pretty interesting story because he's telling it like a story where it's him trying to help his son in school. And just about everything he does is awful.
Okay.
And just blows up in his face.
Sure.
And his son, like, rejects him. And his son's not really learning what he's trying to teach him. He goes, okay, well, let's look at the Aztecs. That's they were Spanish, and then blah, 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 and then like something will fail. He's like, yeah, but what about this? And like his son just keeps hating him even yeah. more and more and more. I'd like to think that was just an over-exaggerated story, but who knows?
You never know.
You never know. But I think his one-man shows are great. I think it's important to comedy for things like this to exist. It's kind of like a version of like Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
When he would do his stand-ups, it was so much more than stand-up. I think we need more like this, and I'm not saying it's as great as that, but in general, we need more performance.
Performance art is something that I think is very underappreciated. Like, you had like Hal Holbrook, who used to do the one-man show as Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that you just don't see too often, unless you're in like certain areas that are very full of vibrant art and like very small theaters and spaces you can go and watch these performance pieces. It's hard to kind of ingest them where we are.
Right. And statistically, it's probably the same for you.
Yeah, that's likely true.
Listener land is not full of a lot of...
No. Hi out there.
Hey out there, guys. Leguizamo.
Do a better job.
He covers the Aztecs, the Incans, Puerto Rico, the American Civil War, and all the whitewashing that happened on history.
Mm.
He talked about being a Hispanic, young Hispanic kid, trying to find Hispanic people in the textbooks, and you just can't.
No. Nope.
Except for, like, the awful people.
Yep.
Cortez was a dick, is your takeaway.
Yep.
But if you don't know anything about history, if you're like, I just don't know my histories, yuck, yuck.
Yep.
Well, you can still learn something from this.
Good.
It's really fun. He runs around stage. He looks like he's about to pass out a couple times. He's got a giant chalkboard. It's the whole shebang.
Leguizamo.
So, to the scores. IMDb gave it a 7.3.
Okay.
Good for them. Rotten Tomatoes, now this is out of 7 critic reviews. So
okay.
Not a lot. 100%.
Ooh.
100%, so 7's not a lot, but it's 100%.
100%, why
it's
not?
It's something.
Sure.
Audience, 80% out of 125 reviews.
Right.
I gave it an 8.
Nice. So definitely worth a watch.
Worth a watch. If you're into comedy, it's great. You'll like it.
Excellent.
If you're not into comedy, you'll learn a thing.
What do you think about John Leguizamo as the Violator in Spawn?
You know, I think that was a really good performance for him.
Agreed.
In a really not great movie.
Yep.
Just like Michael J. White in that movie.
Yep.
At the end of the day, those were really good performances in a very bad movie.
Yep.
And I remember when I may have told this story on here before, when I went to New York Comic Con and he was there that year, there was a guy running around as the Violator, and I wasn't convinced it wasn't him just having a larf.
That's great.
It was such a good, and I was like, I don't know. And if I was that guy, if that wasn't him, I would just be like, as the most Spanish accent I could come up with.
Leguizamo.
So that's it. I'm done with that.
Fair enough.
Take us home.
Yes, I know you're going to be surprised.
Oh?
I have a Universal Monster movie.
Wow.
Yeah, who would have thought?
There's still more?
Oh, boy. We're just scratching the surface. I have 1932's The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one with Brendan Fraser.
Mm.
I watched this at some point, certainly. It is an hour and 14 minutes, and the genre, which apparently Google really hates to use this word, horror.
Ooh.
When I decide that their fantasy drama is not an accurate descriptor, I replace it with horror.
Fantasy drama?
Yes, not even kidding.
Wow.
Directed by Carl Fround.
Fround?
Frown?
Frowned?
Frowned? Who was the DP on Metropolis and Dracula.
Huh.
So quite the ability to see and understand moving pictures.
Frowned? Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
I feel like that's how this will end.
The title will be Frowned.
Frowned?
Leguizamo.
Frowned?
So the story is very simple. Archaeologists read a scroll during a dig and return the mummy Imhotep to life. Then the movie awkwardly cuts to years later, and Imhotep is trying to procure himself what he thinks is his reincarnated wife, which is a woman named Helen Grosvenor.
Sure.
Yep.
Sounds accurate. I could see where you could make that assumption.
Yeah, it's got Boris Karloff as Imhotep. great.
Yep.
Zeta Johann as Helen Grisgarn, and she's good. Edward Van Sloan as your male protagonist. And yeah, it's good fun. Karloff really gets a chance to flex his muscles without a bunch of makeup on his face. Obviously, as the mummy, when he comes to life, you have that cool scene of him in the coffin that's real iconic.
Right.
And then just as later on, Imhotep is a dude, it's just like him with a stretch and stipple on his face. He's so good. He's so haunting. The movie's a little awkward in pace. I actually reviewed this twice because we definitely didn't screw up. You guys screwed up so bad I had to do this twice. So, obviously, with Frown behind the camera,
Frown,
it's gorgeous to look at. I mean, this dude had photographed some of the most important movies up to this point, and it's good. The pacing, I put in both how weird it is, but otherwise, it is a hoot to watch, and Karloff is just chewing up everything. Not any people, though. It's not like that. Not like
that would be great.
Not like the Brendan Fraser one.
He should have, though. He could have got away with it.
So IMDb gives this a 7.1 out of 10. Critics, there is a 93% out of 28 critics. I've started doing the you thing and cribbing your how many people
listen. It's fun when you when you remember. It's a lot of fun. You hate yourself when you forget, like I did. Soon you'll see.
The audience rating was 72%. So I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Which is good. It's not the best. It's not The Invisible Man, which I think is my highest rated monster movie thus far.
Well, that's because Karloff didn't chew on people in this one.
If he had chewed on more people, it probably would have been better. Perhaps John Leguizamo would have helped.
Leguizamo!
So, you never know. Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon!